this episode of The Commercial Break.
I mean, the audience in New Orleans gives me trouble every time. These people are puking. They're screaming. They had to this venue had to change their frozen espresso martini recipe because my audience got so crazy.
Oh, my
no
God.
Shit.
These bitches went wild.
No shit.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you had a show in New Orleans, and people New Orleansed out like they do when they go to New Orleans.
Yeah.
Like they had never, ever had an alcoholic beverage before. And they get so fucking twisted that the place says, we cannot have Lisa here again with the same drink menu.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
You're gaining a reputation in the industry.
As far as an espresso martinis are good.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
Cats and kittens, welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green. This is my dear friend and the co-host of this show, Kristen Joy Hoadley. Best to you, Kristen.
Best to you, Brian.
Best to you out there in the podcast and your universe interview.
Interview universe. It's the interview universe.
It's the interview universe.
Yes.
And thanks for joining us on a TCB Infomercial Tuesday with comedian and podcaster Lisa Traeger. This one's a couple times in the making, as sometimes they are, but we're glad to have her in, as mentioned. She is a stand-up comedian. She also does a very popular podcast called That's Messed Up.
SVU Investigations.
Yeah, so they like take true crime and SVU episodes, and they kind of mix it all in and talk
and
about
get the actors. They can try and get the actors from the show too.
Oh, interesting.
From the episode.
And they focus on the lighter side of life.
Murders,
rapes, robberies, investigations, special victims unit, SVU. That's what that means. Lisa is currently on tour. There are links, as a lot of these comedians are. They're forever on tour. So go see her if she's in your part of town. She's very funny. She's unfiltered. She does not mind talking about the dark side of life. Obviously, she's got a podcast about murder and all that other stuff. She's also very self-deprecating. She was born in Odessa, Ukraine.
I know. I'll have to ask her about that.
She moved to Chicago when she was 3 years old. So, you know, Ukraine was different 20, 30 years ago than it is today. Mm-hmm. I believe still under the USSR flag.
Yep.
So I'm super interested to hear her thoughts on that. I'm sure she's super happy to talk about that. I'm sure that's not the first question that everybody asks her when they find out she's Ukrainian. But we'll ask her anyway. Never one to shy away from a controversial question or one that's been asked a million times, Chrissy. We'll ask it also.
We embrace those.
We embrace the questions everybody else asks. Some podcasters go, we ask the questions no one else asks. We ask the questions everyone else asks. That's our motto here at The Commercial Break.
Well, you heard it here last.
Yeah.
It ties right in.
In the case of the infomercials, you heard it here again. How's that?
Yeah.
You heard it here again. Just like you did on the other podcast. That's the thing. Sometimes these comedians, they'll go on like 30 different podcasts, and we all rip it out the same week. And it's like, you know, who are you going to listen to? Dax Shepard or The Commercial Break? I know who you're going to listen to. And it's not Dax Shepard because it's A Commercial Break because here we are. All right. So links are down in the show notes. Lisa's very generous to come. Here's a little thing. Remember when Blue a couple of weeks ago, months ago, whenever it was, when Blue just her legs went out and she couldn't walk. Actually, I think that was right before you went out of town.
Mm-hmm.
So many of you don't know this, actually, that Blue had an incident. She came home. We had had her in the puppy play place so that we could go off, I think, to my dad's house. And when we came back, we noticed that she was limping around a little bit. Not unusual for Blue. Sometimes she's had problems with her legs. Usually works itself out over a couple of days. And then one day, I found her on the floor in her own shit, like kind of dragging herself along. Her back legs were not working and yelping. And so I had to put her in the shower, and then Chrissy came over. We were supposed to record, and then I left her here for a second while I went and got changed and blew. That was terrible. That was scary. But anyway, she's feeling a little bit better, so that's the good news. Blue is still here with us, and you probably hear her in this episode like you do every other episode.
She still barks.
Yeah, she still barks.
She's
barks
not jumping like she used to.
No, she's learning that there are limitations to being old, just like I am. She's got the same problem. So anyway, so Lisa, which is spelled Liza, L-I-Z-A, but said Lisa, she has been rescheduled, and so we're so grateful that she has decided to give us a second chance. So why don't we do this? Let's take a break. And when we get back, through the magic of telepodcasting, we'll put Lisa right up there on the TV, and we can have a chat with her about all the things. What do you think?
I think we should do it. Okay,
we'll be back.
Let me do something Brian has never done. Be brief. Follow us on Instagram at The Commercial Break. Text or call us 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. Visit our website, tcbpodcast.com, for all the audio, video, and your free sticker. Then watch all the videos at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak. And finally, share the show. It's the best gift you could give a few aging podcasters. See, Brian? That really wasn't that difficult, now was it? You're welcome.
And Lisa is here with us now. Thank you very much for your time today. We certainly appreciate it.
Yes, welcome.
Thank you.
I think that's a very interesting note in your bio is that you were born in Odessa in Ukraine. Is that right? Yeah. Born Odessa?
Yeah.
And then moved to Chicago, Skokie, Illinois, when you were just a little biddle thing. And so your parents, obviously Ukrainian. How's everyone doing? How's everyone holding up during this whole thing?
Well, it's so strange because I always, like as a kid, I always said I was Russian. Like we speak Russian. We're Russian. We're like Russian-speaking Jews. It was the Soviet Union. And then, you know, it is geographically Ukraine, but I don't speak Ukrainian. And I'm not really connected to that culture. I'm like pretty American and it's tough. I didn't really have to question my identity.
Yeah.
And then the war happened and it kind of complicated things and made me think a little more into it. But I feel weird saying I'm Ukrainian, even though that's geographic. And I live in a Ukrainian neighborhood in New York.
Okay.
And like I wouldn't speak Russian to them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, very interesting. So,
especially post the war, like they don't want to really speak Russian, which is fine, but I don't know how to speak Ukrainian. And we're Jewish, so everyone hated us anyways, too.
I know. It's terrible. it's terrible the way that Jewish people are treated throughout the world, quite frankly. But that's a whole different serious conversation that we will try to stay away from.
That's just like what my mom said, because like when all this happened, she goes, I don't know, Russian, Ukraine. Because like she has a doctor and like, they all speak Russian, and this doctor's getting patients that refuse. And she goes, well, then we'll have to speak English. Like,
right.
You can't expect the people that left in the 90s to know.
But that's true.
I also understand their sentiment, but it's like, I'm not aligning. Like, if I talk about Russian stuff, I will get people reaching out being like, you are complicit in the agenda, and you're showing off that culture. And it's like, okay, I'm clearly not for Putin or what is happening. It's the language I speak. So it's like, I wish it was something simple. Like, that's where you were born. And I'm like, I can't even. I don't know. I don't know anymore.
Yeah, it is a complicated topic. It's a complicated subject. And I think that people miss like the nuances of what's going on. I'm not pro-Putin either. I'm very much not pro-Putin. But there are nuances there. And it was the former USSR. So it's like, you know, you go back. Just not even a lifetime ago, and there are people who were, you know, born under the Russian flag, or the Russian Federation. So it's really interesting. It's very interesting. But growing up in Skokie, Illinois, I feel that I'm there. It's a certain kind of upbringing. It's very interesting. If your family was anything like mine, it's kind of like this, like working class, very much. Like comedy is low key and it's loud in the sense that we make fun of anything. Like the way of getting through the most, the worst parts of life are to laugh at them. So in some sense, it feels like a very dark kind of comedy. And Chicago in general, at least the people that I knew, that's the way we kind of muddled through, right? And so did you experience that same kind of upbringing where it was like this, you know, Midwestern, us against the world kind of laugh at anything?
I don't know.
Upbringing?
They were laughing. My parents used to have parties. People were drinking. I don't think they're funny to me, though. Like,
oh, really?
We laugh when we play dominoes. I don't know. They're in their 80s. They're like straight from the Holocaust. You know what I mean?
Oh,
they're like tortured. Wow. my dad's hoarding. My mom's cleaning.
Yeah.
And
is your dad really hoarding? Is your dad hoarding?
Yeah, and so am I. I mean, we both, we all have a really unhealthy attachment to stuff, mm-hmm. putting it away. Like, I wouldn't be able to show you my room, but his was in the basement for a while, and then he, and then his car, and then the kitchen. But my mom is such a clean, organized girl, and her hoarding manifests more in like greeting cards, memories.
Oh, right.
So it's more internal. But me and my sister both have unhealthy, we all have very unhealthy attachments to stuff, mm-hmm. and not being able to get rid of stuff, even if it's garbage and it's ruining our day to day life. Yeah.
I read this interesting article about being a parent. And it said that part of what fucks with your head are these junk boxes, the junk corners, the junk closets,
really?
The things where you have to spend time figuring out where they go and how they go there. It's like a time suck, and you get attached to these things. And so parents sometimes become like hoarders by default, right? There's the junk thing, and we just keep it there because eventually someday we might need that Lego head that no one's touched in 60 years, right?
Well, sometimes you do need it.
Well, sometimes you do need it, but do I really need it? I mean, is the question, do I really need it? So I kind of feel that like hoarder thing as a parent. I feel like I'm not hoarding on purpose, but by hoarding by default, I guess is the word I would use. But
I would say you're a cord hoarder at this point.
I'm a cord hoarder. Yeah, but anybody with a podcast is a cord hoarder.
That is the dark future. I didn't realize how many cords I'd have to deal with on a day-to-day basis. I just lost my headphones. I lost my charging to my wireless. I'm like... Yeah, it's a nightmare. It's a nightmare, these cores. I am, I'm really technology averse, and I am being drowned. I feel like I'm drowning.
Yeah, I feel you on that one. It's tough to keep up with everything that's going on, and I don't really understand. So I just kind of plug and play until I figure it out. And when I'm in the studio, I just buy more wires. I just buy more. I figure more wires are going to solve the problem, but they end up just sitting in a bundle on the floor over there. Is it hard when you like you're traveling constant? I mean, this is any comedian we talk to, and we talked to hundreds. There's a love-hate relationship with the nature of being in and out. But I feel like it's hard to keep house too when you're like always out on the fucking road.
It is hard. Because you're changing, you're coming back, you're unpacking, you're packing again, pulling stuff here and there.
Yeah, I have a woman named Tony, and she comes in when I'm out of town so I can come back to a clean apartment. And she sometimes will text me. She doesn't love coming to my apartment.
You're not the favorite client?
But I overpay her. She gave me a rate, and I go, I'll give you more than that because you're not going to like what you
okay. see. Okay. Money helps.
Tony, she's
money
the best.
Helps. Money helps, yeah.
And I'm always trying to get rid of stuff. So there's always bags for them. Like, take these outfits, give them to your daughter, like, have fun. And then there's more. I don't know. It's sick. It's sick. And then, like, the drawers are filled with things I don't use. So then everything I use is everywhere. And you're right. The suitcases are all always filled depending on what trip. You're not always unpacking. Yeah, mm-hmm. It is a thing. I'm going to Europe for a week on tour, and my goal is carry on only.
Ooh.
I have to. I cannot lug a thing around.
You're being brave.
Ambitious.
Yeah, that's ambitious.
I cannot lug around a thing on a train. Yeah, I just can't live that life.
It is. It's hard and to get off the trains.
I always suffer in that way. So if I have to suffer by having less stuff than I need, then that'll be a new way of suffering and I can assess later. But I can't bring my big suitcase on this trip.
And you're going to Europe. It's not like you're going to Antarctica, right? If you need something, you will be able to find it out. I mean, I imagine, I don't know where you're going in Europe, but it's got to be, you're going to industrialized countries where they'll have shit you need.
That's true.
Yeah. I always think about that. Like, we take my kids to my dad's house. It's a 2-hour drive. Mm-hmm. And when we had our first kid, everything in the house went with us. Every fucking thing.
Because you might need it.
You might need it, right? But then I forget that he lives in Clemson, South Carolina. It's not like I'm going to fucking,
The
middle of nowhere. I'm not going to the back of the Congo. I'm just going to my dad's house. And so even, it's still hard to just not pack that stuff. But when we've been to Europe, and we've been a lot, we really try and consolidate. But we have at least one suitcase per person with us. And that is tough to, are you going to multiple cities inside of that week?
Yeah, so I'm doing four shows. So I'll get one. Yeah, Amsterdam, Paris, ooh, Dublin, London.
Oh, that's like nice. A dream vacay. Yeah. You're on your way. You're going to have so much fun.
Well, I'm doing shows, yeah. And I've never been to Paris. So I'll have like, you know, 10 hours there, I think, outside the show. Oh, so I'll make the most of it. And then in London, I have a really good friend that I'm excited to see.
I want to hear a little bit about this. Is there like an agenda for Paris? Do you have like one, if 10 hours, that's not a lot. Is there like one or two things? No.
It's, baguette, croissant, Eiffel Tower, mm-hmm. walk around. There's really nothing else.
That's a perfect day in Paris. You're going to have lovely. And now
and
I understand.
After my show, I'm down to like go have champagne or like have a steak, I guess, if there's late night in Paris. But, maybe some mussels. Yeah, I guess just food in the Eiffel Tower. I really can't plan further than that.
Yeah.
And I just don't want to look like shit. Like, I just, you know, I hear so much about Paris and I just.
What are you worried about? You have to look.
I'm the worst dressed person in France, but
I promise you, you will not be the worst dressed person in France. Throw a scarf on.
Throw a scarf.
Get a beret.
And a beret. Yeah.
Get a pair of walking shoes. Do you have any New Balance? Because, you know, New Balance is cool out there. So just get some New Balance, throw on a beret and a scarf.
I'm an Adidas Adidas girl. I got the campus. Actually, you know, I have to wear my new sneakers today so they get worn in. Okay, I'm glad we're talking.
Yeah, we're all on the same
depend
page.
Depend on my elf. Okay.
No, you got to wear the new sneakers, but you do have to break them in. You don't want blisters in that 10 hours that you're going there.
No surprise blisters.
Yeah. You hear a lot about Paris. Like, you hear that it's so fashion forward and that everyone there looks like $1 million and everyone's beautiful. But the truth is, it's like any other big city. You know, I'm sure there's somewhere where all the models are congregating, but I didn't see it when I went there. And I had lunch at that restaurant in the Eiffel Tower, and that was quite amazing. But don't do that. Just go to a regular restaurant and eat some mussels.
I'm gonna eat in like my neighborhood where I'm staying is not near. I don't know.
Yeah, you're gonna stay away from that part of town.
No, I'm just not. I don't want to get in tricked by a tourist trap. I'd like to just like eat a meal at a casual spot. Versus kind of. I mean, there's one food. Yeah. It's a day, so I can't really do anything else.
Yeah. And then Dublin is lovely, too. So you're going
to
love
Dublin. I've been to Dublin a lot. I actually love Ireland and a lot. It's one. If I could have a second. If I was so rich, I'd have a place in New York, Chicago, Palm Springs, and Ireland.
Good spot.
Interesting.
Yeah, those are my four.
Yeah, Chrissy and I often say there's two places on Earth where all the people go. It's Palm Springs and the Hamptons. So if I could have a place, I'd have Palm Springs or the Hamptons. Those two those two places. We always play that game if we were rich.
I've never been to the Hamptons and I don't care. And I love Palm Springs. I've been there probably 10 times. It's like one of my favorite places.
It is very nice. Yeah.
Do you have...
The mountains are powerful.
The desert
is nice. Mm-hmm. The heat, the pool, the chill. I love the architecture, the steakhouses. I love it.
No humidity. Yeah.
Do you go to the festivals out there? Have you been to, what are they calling that now? Coachella? Is Coachella out in Palm Springs?
No.
It's in Indio.
Oh, it's in Indio.
Like people will stay and go there, but no, that's definitely not for me.
Yeah, no, not for us either. Yeah. We don't do that.
Unless I'm cool enough to be like golf carted around and VIP and badges. Like, because I've performed at festivals and then you get treated better. But like as the general public person, absolutely not would I be caught dead at a festival.
Which festivals are you performing at? Like a comedy festival? Or have you ever performed at a music festival / comedy festival? You know, Bonnaroo used to do that. They used to have the comedians up there. And
yeah. I did Bumbershoot in Seattle.
Uh-huh.
And that was really fun. I saw Ludacris and Blondie, SZA, Lil Wayne, maybe someone else. That's the only one that's coming to mind. But I feel like I've done more. Yeah.
Do you feel... a certain kinship to a certain part, like when you're touring around the country, do you feel do you feel pulled to a certain part of the country that feels like your audience, like these people get me? I'm always interested the comedians who travel around, most of them say yes, this part of the country seems to be receptive to my brand of comedy, or this city is my city. Do you feel that way?
No, because it depends. Like, if I'm going to a comedy club and I'm not, like, selling well and they have to give away free tickets and it's, like, random people from Ohio, yeah, that's not going to be my people.
Yeah.
Like, unfortunately. But if I'm going to Ohio and it's my audience, it doesn't matter where they are. Like, sure. They'll come find me or they'll drive to whatever. So I'll go anywhere because the people that like me that are there are going to be there and it'll be good.
Yeah, sure.
There might just be less of them. And if there are random people, they might leave. Like in North Carolina or like whatever.
Yeah, or they may be a brand new fan.
Yeah.
They'll enjoy it. Yeah. So I don't know about that. Like the people that like me, I like.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
And they're hopefully everywhere. But where there's more people that are into me are probably cities. So that is where it is. So, you know, DC likes me, Portland, San Diego. But I'm happy to go everywhere. And then personally, it's for me, I prefer performing at places where I can walk around.
Mm-hmm. Fuck yeah.
Or eat, or it's at least like I can get to a fun thing.
Yeah.
Easy.
You're That's trying to say not Atlanta, Georgia. Is what you're trying to say.
Or like Nashville. You know, I was in Nashville and it's like, I just wanted a cup of iced coffee. Like, I just wanted an iced coffee. And it took forever. Like, I had to do three separate crosswalks to cross one street to go to a Starbucks in a hotel. Yeah. You're not a city.
Yeah.
Like, this is a nightmare. And obviously people live there and there's better, like, neighborhoods. And I'm at the will of wherever they put me or I end up being close to the venue. So not judging old city, but like, yeah, if I can't get an iced coffee within minutes, like, fuck you.
Yes.
I don't. It drives me crazy. I like Philly is fun. I can walk somewhere. I can go eat somewhere cool. I can see art. Or if I'm going to a place where I know I'm going to have a great meal or an aquarium or something, I can't wait. But sometimes you're just in a hotel at a fucking Red Roof. Eating, Jimmy John's, which I love. Yeah. That's like, that'll be great. And I love watching TV doing nothing. So that's also fine.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that would be my life on the road. Would be.
It's a lot of that, yeah.
Yeah. I'm not sure that a lot of people who travel for a living do that. It's like, I would pick a place, and we do pick places to stay based on its proximity to the local Starbucks or the coffee shop where I can get coffee every morning because it's so important to me. So when we're picking a place to stay, I'm like, is there like a Starbucks I can walk to or at least get to, you know, within a couple of minutes? And I know that hotel in Nashville with that Starbucks and I feel for you because it is a pain in the ass. It really is.
Just like walking in circles. Yes. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I just want to be able to see the people, have a nice breakfast sandwich. Like New Orleans is a fun place. Ooh, to perform. There's like a lot to do, but I'm I need a nap before the show. So it's day drink in New Orleans.
I know. It's cool. You have to, though. It's part of it.
I love it.
Yeah. I feel like if I day drank before I got
on
stage, it would be a nightmare.
The audience is too drunk there. I mean, the audience in New Orleans gives me trouble every time. These people are puking. They're screaming. They had to this venue had to change their frozen espresso martini recipe because my audience got so crazy.
Oh my God.
These bitches went wild. Full
no
families.
Shit.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you had a show in New Orleans, and people New Orleansed out like they do when they go to New Orleans.
Yeah.
Like they had never, ever had an alcoholic beverage before. And they get so fucking twisted that the place says, we cannot have Lisa here again with the same drink menu.
Yes. Yeah.
You're gaining a reputation in the industry.
As far as an espresso martinis are good, though.
Listen, I haven't had one. I mean, I've tasted one. I think they're fine. But
that's
love
pretty
this
funny
story. Do you feel like your audiences are rowdy? Like, do they follow you down the rabbit hole? They come, they get drunk, they have fun.
It depends. Sometimes people get a little too drunk. To me, disruption is like, depends on your heart and spirit.
Sure.
And if you're good natured and I could tell you're like just making a wrong choice right now, I can deal with it. But if your spirit's like to ruin my night or you're a dick, like I want you out of there.
Yeah.
So they're rowdy in a fun way. So, and if they're just, you know, I'll calm them down. But also with the podcast fans, you know, you're with them all the time in their day-to-day life.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And they forget. And so they will yell out, like they're responding.
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah.
And that's sweet. So but it could be disruptive. But that's sometimes what it is, where they're like, wait, but I listened to you hours and hours and hours of my life.
Yeah,
what do you,
right.
you know?
Yeah,
so.
We're friends.
We're friends.
But they're not overall disruptive. It's like really good girls with jobs that help people, like a lot of women that work at animal shelters. We got a lot of defense attorneys, just girls that like to read and their cats and witchcraft, I would say. And then I get some hot gay dudes, and then a couple tables of like three straight white guys that like me from a podcast or something. It's actually really good girls. But sometimes, you know, if you're in Buffalo and the Bills won, they might be wasted.
We just had Buffalo. Bills fans down here.
Yeah, we just had our Bills fans down
the Falcons,
here. That's
and
right.
They were everywhere.
So you know.
Yeah. I just had coffee with a guy who's a Bills fan, but he lives here in Atlanta. Yeah. And he said, some of these Bills fans are such shitheads. He said that they were in a section. He was in a section and there was a lot of drama going on between the Falcons fans and the Bills fans.
Okay.
And he's like, some of these Bills fans are such shitheads. They just love their team. That's it.
They do. I think it's the Buffalo thing.
They love their team, and now they're getting a new stadium that no one can afford to go to. So all of the working class Bills fans are out. So it's like their last year of hanging out. Anyway, I don't want to get into all that bullshit. But let's talk about the podcast for a second. And we do understand that. Like, I think sometimes there's a bit of a they're not a bit of there's a parasocial relationship that builds between a podcast listener and the podcast host. And when you do it, let's say, as frequently as we do, people really are listening to you a lot. And we've had people tell us they talk back at the speaker when we can't remember a name correctly or we say something wrong. They'll like yell at the car speaker or whatever. You know, oh my God, Brian, you got it wrong. And so there is this parasocial relationship that builds. It's different than any other media form. It's intimate in that way. You're all kind of always on or always can be on. Tell us about the podcast, because I think it's fascinating.
So it's my friend and I, Kara Clank, and it's called That's Messed Up, an SVU podcast. And we recap an episode of SVU. We deep dive into the true crime that it's based on. And then we interview an actor from the show, from that episode.
Yeah.
And we used to be more strict. And then the strike we didn't have guests for the strike.
Okay.
And then now if we, like, can't get a guest or we just really want to do an episode, we'll do it. But I would say we have, like, 90%. We'll talk to the people from the show.
And how frequently do you publish?
Every week.
Every week. That's what you need to do. You have to be religious about it. Yeah.
Exactly.
And we try to, like, bank some of the crime episodes because it is quite dark, I would say. And so it's nice to have a week where you're not, like, fully mood ruined by a horrible crime.
Yeah, what's some of the darkest stuff? I mean, I know, I think I heard you talking on another podcast with David Cross about
oh my God, he fucking bullied me this week and I kind of hate him.
Whoa.
I'm in a full war with him. And
why?
Next time I see him, it's on site.
Why?
What
on site, she said. Jeez, she is popping. Look at this. All right, we're breaking news.
I've, like, never been in a physical fight. It's not, I, like, went off. We recorded yesterday, too. I was, like, really excited to meet someone that was coming to this event. That's like a celebrity, but I was, like, so excited and I planned on what I was going to say to this person.
Yeah.
I was just like someone I've been a fan of for probably like 30 years since I was a child. And he went over. And I could tell something was going on and a prank was pulled on me and kind of sullied this moment. And I recovered in whatever way, but I just don't like the spirit of someone that, like, sees someone's excitement and decides to, like,
shit on it
and make it bad. And to the point where the prank, like, eventually this person had to be like, oh, I don't want to do this anymore. He put me up to it because he's like, looking at your face was heartbreaking. And so to me, I was just like, bro, I'm like decades younger than you. I'm a fan of your shit. And I don't know why you're like rude to someone that's like so excited.
So,
tearing up thinking about, honestly,
oh,
I should have met her in the moment. But also it's this thing of like, you know, I'm also mad at myself for like a bit because I'm pretty confrontational.
Mm-hmm.
And so I also, when I don't act in grounded in the moment as myself and kind of hold back and I'm like allowing a situation to occur, I also, that makes me upset.
Sure.
I should have been like, what are you trying to do, bro? Like, you suck. But I didn't really do it in the moment. And I think that's what adds to the upsetness is that, like, I didn't handle myself in the way that I wish I did.
Okay. So just to recap here, so I understand 100%. So you and David know each other. You and
I just for that pod, but like okay. We were at an event where I knew nobody else
except for David.
And exactly. So okay. I was kind of like wandering this event and then I see him. So I beeline and I was like, you're the only person face. I know.
Yeah.
And then you tell him that I'm really excited to meet this third person.
Yeah.
And he goes over to the third person and said,
had,
hey,
like,
let's
a
pull a joke
story. I was like, oh, I really want to like do this. And then I saw him whispering. I go, he's going to ruin this for me. And the other people that were around, they're like, he wouldn't do that. I'm like, yeah, he is. I'm like, he's doing something. He's warning him. Like, he's saying something about me to this person. And so when I walk over to introduce myself, it goes awry. It is awful. I'm get like, and then the person was like, he put me up to it. I don't want to do this. Of course you can like show me the way you wanted to show me, but it just like made
ruined the moment.
All right, David, like, explain yourself.
My family really loves this person. Like when I told my mom I met him, my mom was like, oh my God. Yeah. And I wish I had a photo, but he already had this idea that it was probably like a crazy, I mean, I brought him like a present in my pocket. Like maybe I am nuts, but
no,
I could have been personable and good. And so then I ended up getting blacked out and then whatever.
Okay. David Cross on TCB.
What did I say?
What did I say
on his podcast?
I was just listening, you know, and
did it sound like David was fussy?
No, he didn't sound too fussy. He was a little, you know, dry, but that's kind David of the Cross. Way he is. Yeah. Yeah. So you guys were just talking about the podcast or about your podcast and some of like your favorite, you know, true crime things. And, you know, that you talked about how your nightmare would be to be in a basement, you know, trapped in a basement.
I think those are the most horrific.
Yeah.
Is the ones where like
people are trapped.
You're just held for a decade, maybe more.
Yes. And like tortured some.
Yeah. That's what fears are made of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Those kinds of cases and they happen a lot. And,
it's terrifying.
And
it is.
The investigation, like the one in the case in Cleveland.
The girls who broke through like the window and the neighbor saw them and he wanted a cheeseburger or something. They wanted like, Burger King or something.
Around the block from her house. One of the women was like from the neighborhood, you know, like, you're also putting all of your survival into the authorities. And with my research of over like 200 something crimes, I will tell you they're terrible at investigation. And they fuck up a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so knowing all of this and knowing I'm trapped and like knowing they might not be looking or looking the right way or missed a detail or I'm just a cold case or like you just don't know. And in that Cleveland case, what was extra fun, he would make them watch the news interviews with their family looking for them.
Oh, no.
And he would go, you're never going to see
that. Oh, my God. And the thing that those types of people are like walking amongst us, say at the Starbucks that you're at next to us, is that to me is just mind blowing.
And you don't know what clicks for these people that they want you.
Yes.
You could just look like someone they were obsessed with when they were like, you don't, there's no rhyme or reason. You don't know who's stalking, like, or the snatching, like it could happen quickly. Or, you know, I always tell mostly women, like men would never ask a woman for help. So if a man asks you for help, like in Silence of the Lambs,
that's
you say
true.
No.
Yes.
A man would never ask a woman for help.
Yeah.
So if a man is.
I mean, unless I was like in an emergency, like bleeding out, can you help me? Can you put pressure on the wound or like something obvious?
I would call 911 from a distance. I would never touch a wound. I would never. So yeah, that's one of the things. If any man asks me can you help? I would never hold a door for a man. Nothing.
That's how Bundy got a lot of his.
That's true.
He had a fake cast and he would put it on, like that's a fake arm cast. He would put it on. He would walk through the parking lot or through the college campus and he would say, I'm trying to move this box or I need to get this thing in there. And they'd knock somebody out and put him in the back, whatever. Bundy was.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Let me
ask you this. Do you feel.
And child, like honestly, and like any time when a child dies because of just, you know, the people they trust the most, putting them in awful situations, committing crimes against them, just the lot of life. And then they go on to commit crimes. It's like it is a really heavy situation. That's why we love talking to the actors after.
Right.
And we have fun with the SVU show and like our intro. But yeah, the crime stuff
is heavy. Crack.
We take it serious.
Yeah.
Is there one? Well, I think it's interesting let me back up just a little bit. I think it's interesting that in today's day and age, there are a ton of internet / podcast sleuths, mm-hmm. right, that are going out there and digging up new information about cold cases or current cases. And that there's like these home investigative journalists, right, these podcasters, vodcasters, all these people who are out there, and they're acting as a second, third set of eyes. Now, I also understand that comes with some drama sometimes, too, like, you know, people quickly making accusations about people who had nothing to do with the crime or whatever. But you're right. Like, maybe sometimes just having the police involved isn't enough. It takes like kind of an army of people to look at this from different ways.
The Long Island killer, we covered the crime before he was caught, but like there was a corrupt police department.
Yes.
There were naked women disappearing. They were being found. They were put as accidents that, like, accidental deaths, natural cause, like, they were not being investigated. Right. And it was like one mom pushed through. One mom was like, I'm going to find who did this to my daughter. Yeah. And then a new police chief came in, and it was solved in 6 months. But for years, women were disappearing. Years. God. And because they were sex workers or young or wherever, or because of his relationship with the officer, I don't know. And so, like, yeah, it's unfortunate, but like, there's a case in Philly. It's nicknamed the House of Horrors, and it's one of the crimes that The Silence of the Lambs was based on, because he had this tunnel. But basically, he was taking, torturing, and keeping captive mostly Black handicapped women with disabilities. And so that's like a very forgotten group, but to the point where a mother of a missing woman told the police, like, I think it's this guy. Can you please investigate? They didn't. The center where a lot of these women used to go to, they called the authorities and were like, something is going on. We think it's this guy. Our people are disappearing. They did nothing. Mm. Neighbors of this guy called the police multiple times going, we hear chainsaws. Ah. We smell smells. It smells bad. No one investigated.
Wow.
And finally, one woman, like, was able to build trust with him. And he could, because a lot of these freaks, it's like the power, obviously,
yeah,
and
sure.
the control.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so they get off on being able to release you a little bit and know that you'll come back because your survival's tied, or you've lied and said you'll kill their family or whatever it is.
Right.
So it's like they really get off on finally getting someone out of the home behaving. And this woman was so smart and got his trust. And when she was out, like, was able to call 911.
Yeah.
But like, two of the women did die out of the six that he had. And like, the police were told multiple times and didn't do it.
Jesus.
And so there was another case that I'm forgetting, like, the details, but like, oh, like a woman, this guy would just torture and let them go. But because they were drug addicts or sex workers, the cops never cared.
Believe them.
Yeah.
So the women even came and were like, I just escaped this thing, and they didn't do anything. So that's what adds to the horror. Or even like just the way certain judges act, certain people, like police captains, and the way they talk about victims and how you need to wear this or you shouldn't have done that. Like, the people in charge of it misunderstand crimes and who's really responsible and how to solve it. Like, the people in charge are so misinformed and don't care. And, you know, police officers are the top job that with the highest rates of domestic violence in the home. So it's like, it's like, not only can a horrible thing happen to you, but then the people that are supposed to, like,
protect you, help,
aren't doing it either. So yeah, it's like really scary, and it's scary the more vulnerable you are. And like I said, with children too, like with protective services and the money we put into stuff and how we listen to people and like signs of abuse. It's just like, it's so layered. It's so dark.
Yeah.
It's so huge. And it goes so high in terms of, it's in our government. It's, I mean, right now, human trafficking is happening. Like, it is, it's really,
Yeah, I can see why you need to take a week break from this.
Yeah, Brian, say something
funny. Yeah, I don't have anything funny to say.
I'm sorry.
I don't have anything funny to say.
David Cross told me I need to get help, but it's like, these are the crazy things of the world. So it's like, I do go into my bodega and I'm like, if anyone asks, remember you saw me.
Right.
I am very
high alert.
I'm looking for candy. I'm high alert. I am. I don't always turn on and off my lights at the same time, so no one knows my patterns.
Yeah.
Like, oh, wow.
I would be thinking about those things, too, after delving deep into this.
And I think that is part of the reason, too, why officers, you know, people in the military, like, they see things, they see the world in a way. They're so entrenched that you know, there's only so much the human psyche can take at the end of the day. And so it starts to fit around that perspective. And it's understandable. If you spend all of your time or a lot of your time investigating these crimes and looking into them and then trying to help other people, there's no doubt that your psyche would start to fit around that vision of the world by doing things like turning off your on and off your lights at different times. That's wild. And I also understand, I think it's become such a popular
Because if someone's stalking, it's like really hard to get protective orders. Stalking's hard to prove. That's it is so overwhelming and you don't want to live in this paranoid state, obviously. I'm not encouraging that behavior.
I had a girl one time who sent me over 1,000 text messages in like 2 hours. I mean, it was like this insane level of not well. And I went to the police and it was like, that wasn't even enough to do.
They probably laughed.
They didn't laugh, but they were like, here's the 17 steps you need to take in order to maybe think about getting a protective order. And it was like, this girl is clearly unhinged. Yeah. She's coming to my house. She's texting me. You were there. She was coming to my house. She was unhinged. And it just like, the red tape involved, the clearly I don't care, the clearly we've seen this 20 times today, sorry, my friend. And even the protective order is a joke. What is that going to do? They put a piece of paper in your window? I mean, what are they going to do? Someone it means you harm, they're going to mean you harm.
And I just saw this online, not an original thought, but it made me think that, like, you know, Second Amendment, yada, yada, weapons. But any weapon that women use to protect themselves is illegal. Like, you're not allowed to have a taser or like carry around pepper spray. All these things are like not legal.
What?
You can't fly with them. Like, you can't have a taser.
So
it was something to think about of like, oh, all the things that we can use to protect ourselves are like, we're not allowed to have.
That's weird. I have pepper spray for sure.
Yeah.
I have it. I have to be better about carrying it.
Yeah.
I also saw
me
someone
too.
Grabs you from the back.
Yeah.
You can light their elbow with a lighter.
Ooh. Wow.
And
that's interesting.
Like, oh, you need to find your lighter. I'm like, I'm such a pothead. It'll be but it's kind of like what you said earlier with when you come from like tougher lives, you're more willing to laugh at stuff.
Yeah.
And I think, not that I'm desensitized, because I'm not, I'm really sensitive and I think about this stuff deeply.
Sure.
But I do talk about it and will ruin a mood in public. Like, I forget that I'm so used to it and I can have it on the background. I can go to sleep to fucking any horrible thing. But I'll be with people and then I'll start talking about the details of something I researched that day.
Right.
And you just see people's faces.
People are like,
I'm sorry.
Well, it is fascinating.
And I don't let people have fun. Like, someone was just talking about like Beauty and the Beast. Oh, Stockholm Syndrome. And I'm like, no, that's actually like a sexist guy. It's not a real thing. It's a survival tactic. They're not like actually falling in love.
Yeah.
They're like, we're just trying to have fun. So I'm aware.
Made a joke about a Disney movie.
I'm like a Debbie Downer, but you just start to really, I've always cared about this. I used to volunteer. Like, it's just something I've always been passionate about. And the unfairness of the justice system, especially with sex crimes. So it's like, I just, even if someone's kidding, I like, I want them to know the real thing just in case.
Yeah.
Well, I actually know,
I'm
ruining the mood again, but
go.
I know someone that was, didn't realize what was happening to them until they watched SVU.
Really?
And because they were young, they were a kid, so they didn't realize what was wrong, like they were being abused. They didn't realize.
Oh, God.
And then they watched Law and Order, Special Victims Unit, realized what was happening to them was wrong, and this person is incarcerated now for like 25 years. But she didn't know without the show.
Jeez.
No,
or maybe
shit.
She would have figured it out, but it was this tool. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, well, I think this is also why you probably, if this, watching these shows, listening to these things, you know, is such a popular form of media consumption. This category is so popular, especially the podcasts are so popular that it's easy to see why you have gotten a community of people who are attached to this podcast, because you're actually knowledgeable about it too. Like, you're not just
passionate
about it.
My most prideful things, or what I'm most proud of, is lawyers listen to our podcast, like people within it.
Yeah.
And so that means we're doing a pretty good job if like people that are within the system listen.
Yes.
But we also ask them for help. So sometimes we don't know things, or we are confused about like spousal privilege or this, or how does that work? Right. And so we get people that write in and help us understand as well.
That's awesome.
Because it is complicated. I'm a sociology major pothead, and I'm reading like full on court transcripts. It's a nightmare. It's so hard. I don't know how lawyers do it. I'm like trying to read the court documents. Cause sometimes, sometimes with the news, that's hard too. You need to go to the to go to the source.
Need to go to the source. It's there's a lot of great podcasts and YouTube channels that'll break it down for you. But news gives you a digestible bite. You know, if it bleeds, it leads kind of thing. And so they tell you the palace intrigue part of the story usually.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the problem. Yeah. It'll tell you like arrested, and then I'm like, well, what was the sentence?
Yeah.
What was the indictment? What are the charges? Like, where are they now?
Yeah.
Were they on parole? Right. Are they on the registry? And so it's like, or if something's retracted, it's like, wait, but what ended up happening? Or who, like, sometimes you're right. They like write about the sensational aspect of it.
They always do.
Then they forget about the case that does keep going.
Yeah.
They always do. And that's why podcasts like yours have filled this niche where people want, they're thirsty for the additional information, the circumstances surrounding it, the people involved.
Yeah, not just the act itself.
Not just the act itself or the drama around it, the most sensationalized.
Or this is something that actually a crime I just covered that was in Atlanta, or and it didn't air yet, but this happened with a different crime in the past, but I wasn't getting the information I wanted. And I was confused because there was episodes of Dateline and scripted movies, TV movies based on this crime. And I'm like, where is the news? And it's because the Olympic bombing happened within days of this man's murder.
Right.
Yeah.
And so people were busy. So then that makes me think of like what, you know, there was another case where it didn't get attention because the Scott Peterson case was in the news.
Oh, very interesting.
And so you also, not only is it like what people are interested in not and how the news dictates what people see, but also on top of it, if something happens to you and then, you know, it's 9/11.
Yeah, there was something else more.
You could get swallowed up.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's something. Yeah. Well, the news cycle.
Something I never thought about. Something that I never thought about.
That's very interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay, Lisa Traeger is on tour, on the constant never-ending tour.
I tell jokes.
Yeah. She's really funny.
I'm a fun girl. Yes.
She is funny. She's got a Comedy Central special. Yeah, there's her new special on Night Owl on Netflix. You are a stand-up comedian, and this is like another project that she works on, and obviously
like
is very
dual
passionate.
Nature
Me too.
Of this.
Yeah.
Yes.
Everything.
You're not
I'm
just
someone
one note.
That knows a little bit about a lot.
Uh-huh.
And I'm interested and curious about a lot of different things, and so I'm lucky I get to do it. I hope someone gets me to do an ocean show.
I want to
swim with the orcas.
I would watch the orcas too.
Yeah.
If any marine biologists are watching or nature photographers and want to go on a date and take me on a boat. I can kayak next to an orca. Uh-huh. I would really love that.
Love is in the air. But those orcas, they kill people, so be careful.
They don't, only in captivity. They've never on record in nature ever attacked a person.
Don't know if they attack actual people, but they have been attacking boats in Spain. So, and they think they might just be playing
revenge.
With it. Yeah, I agree.
No, it's full on revenge. They like killed a whale. So they're like, we will kill. Like also with orcas, each community is different with different
pods,
vibes.
Yeah.
The pods are all different. So like the billionaire hating orcas up there are like different. They're all different.
The
boat stuff's the fucking best. No, I would be scared. My heart would be racing. Like it's not like I'd be calm next to an orca because I know they don't kill people. But I would want to face my. I want to be next to them. So
they're such beautiful creatures, and obviously the only time I've ever seen one is in captivity. Long before I knew that it was wrong that they were in captivity, but now I know, and this whole different animal. No pun intended.
Yeah, now I'm just gonna bring up I'm gonna bring up another horrible topic: exotic animal trade.
Oh no!
The Atlanta Aquarium does allow you to swim, not with
orcas, but with the belugas.
The belugas,
And those belugas were so already beautiful. In captivity. So one was born. They had one that was one or two that were born, but they came from a Chinese mall is where those belugas were. And that's how they got here. I think the first one has so old, like it's The aquarium has been around for
so long. I've communicated with those things before.
Everybody has some kind of experience. Yeah, if you go there and you watch those creatures and they happen to come up to you, mm-hmm. and they often do, they will. Something's going on there. I can't explain it. I won't explain it. It's probably the LSD.
Probably the mushrooms.
It's probably all the bad cocaine I was snorting. But listen, that's a story for a different time.
Cocaine. You got to do mushrooms at the aquarium.
That's what I did.
No, I'm kidding. Of course I do mushrooms at the aquarium. Ayahuasca. That's what I'm into at the aquarium.
Well, you know, me and a seahorse, I'll always remember. I stood at the seahorse tank for like 45 minutes.
Yeah.
They're beautiful creatures.
Blew my mind.
Yeah, they really are. Those and the otters.
With them.
We got to be. Yeah. They are aliens, higher forms of intelligence in life, and they are here. What's that? No. The dolphins and the whales. No, the otters are like little.
They're pretty smart.
Yeah, they're like cabbage patch dolls that came to life. You know what I'm saying? Those things.
Well, depends. I'm going to ruin the sea otters and river otters are different.
They are.
I'm not going to ruin the mood, but some are committing crimes.
Yeah.
Oh well, that's what my dad says about the otters living at his dock up in South Carolina. So that's Messed Up, an SVU podcast. It's available weekly. Night Owl is on Netflix, and her never-ending tour. Go see her. She's going to be in Paris and Dublin and London and Amsterdam and all those exciting places. Go do some mushrooms in Amsterdam and go see Lisa. Don't disrupt her in a disrespectful way.
Part of the world's not really chatting.
No.
Yeah. It's really weird. The world is wild. Like, I saw Cher in Belgium, and like, everyone was sitting down. I'm like,
oh my God. What? Yeah.
They only sit up at the end. Everyone's just politely clapping. Wow. And no one's rowdy at all. No one even wanted to talk to me. And I was like, wow, different.
Wow. You know, Cher is like imprinted in my mind as the first woman that I ever found to be attractive.
Her autobiography is great.
Oh my God.
Too.
Cher is
amazing. Do you remember
amazing.
What was it a movie? Was it her show? It's was Sunny it an
and,
outfit? What did
Sunny
you see?
And, Sunny and Cher. And wow. I remember I don't know.
It was Sonny and Cher, not just Cher.
No, it wasn't just Cher. Okay. It was Sonny and Cher. They were together. I remember them walking out on the stage and just that hair
and
the sparkly outfit
Bob
or whatever
Mackie.
She was wearing. What's that?
Bob Mackie was the designer.
She was just like, to me, that I was like, wow.
She's beautiful.
She's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Cher's gorgeous. And, you know, she continues.
And fashion forward. It's not a safe hot. It's a cool hot.
Yeah, yes, she's always been edgy and cool and dating 20-year-old Italian models, and I think that the world needs a little bit more of that. Like, God bless her. God bless Cher. Lisa, thank you very much.
Thank
we had
you
a great
so much,
time.
Lisa.
A great way to end. God bless Cher.
God bless
Dolly
Cher.
Parton.
Yes.
And our,
oh yeah, 100%. Dolly Parton. Yes, another
all of our heroes.
Yes. Yeah, she's awesome too. Dolly. Oh, God, I love Dolly Parton.
No, who doesn't?
If you don't like Dolly Parton, it's like if you don't like Dolly Parton or dogs, you're just not a human being. Something's wrong with you. Or music. I had one guy. I'm not into music. You're not into music? What are you? Where were you born? What planet? Lisa Traeger, all the links are in the show notes.
Come back anytime, and we'd love to see you on the road too.
Yeah, if you come to Atlanta, let us know. We will have you in.
Last time I was in Atlanta, it was like fake Atlanta. You know, they book you in Atlanta, but then you're 45 minutes away in a strip mall.
Yeah.
Oh, you were at the. You were. I know where you were. Were you really in a strip mall?
Yeah. But a nice one.
Yeah.
Well, I know where you were.
What's the town called?
It's Norcross. Was it Norcross or was it Alpharetta?
Alpharetta.
Okay. I thought you were in the not nice strip mall in Norcross.
That was a nice one.
When I saw Pete Davidson there, and it was the oddest comedy show ever, but Pete brought down the house. I got to give it to him. I didn't know what to expect, but he was really fucking funny. All right. But so is Lisa. Go check her out. Thank you so much. You're welcome back.
Lisa.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Okay, you're probably wondering why I, Rachel, have taken over the voice duties at TCB. It's pretty simple. Astrid asked me to shut Brian up, even for a minute. Well, lovely Astrid, your wish is my command. Do you want to help Astrid too? You know you do. Leave a message for her, or me, or Chrissy at 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. You can be on the show too. Mm-hmm. Just call and say something. Anything. Or text us and we'll text you right back.
promise. Then head over to tcbpodcast.com and get your free sticker. It's your constitutional right to a sticker, and we must abide. You get the point. Follow us on Instagram at The Commercial Break and watch all the episodes on video at youtube.com/The Commercial Break. Best to you and Astrid, especially Astrid.
Well, that was a good post-Halloween episode right there. There you go.
Yeah.
Keeping it trucking. We've been talking about Ed Gein and all the murder mysteries, and here comes Lisa right in with all of the information that we need to protect ourselves and that we need to know. She is really deep in that universe.
Yeah, and like I said, too, I like the duality. I mean, I think you have to. You have to have the humor.
You do.
Along with, if you're going to go that deep into horrible things that are happening.
I think you got to have an outlet, right? Mm-hmm. And like a lot of people do, as I mentioned on the show, like a lot of people do, you know, they see dark things and they poke fun at it because that's how they know to cope. And that's how I know how to cope. That's how you know how to cope. There we go. There it is. Okay. So, and also, David Cross, come on and explain yourself.
Yes, we need answers.
David Cross is probably like, I'm going to go on the commercial break and do what? They need an explanation from me?
Yeah.
Yes, David, we do. Yeah, I don't know what to make of that. I will leave it up to conjecture until we hear the second side of the story. Maybe David was trying to angle for something he thought would be funny and enduring, and it didn't end up being funny. And obviously, Lisa's feelings very hurt. Yeah. And I want to know who it was.
I know, me too.
Yeah, I should have asked her. But, you know, again, you heard it here again. we'll figure it out. We'll do a little Googling and we'll figure it out. All right. So all of Lisa's links are down in the show notes. All of the I'll give her a link so you can buy tickets to her tour. She's all over the place, including Europe, as you heard. So if she comes to a town near you, go see her. She is very funny. I've watched
very
some
funny.
Of her stuff. She's got Comedy Central special. I'll put a link there. She's got the new Netflix special, Night Owl. So you can go watch that. I'll put the links down there. All the good gravy right down there in the show notes, as I always try to do for you, my friends, to make life easier on you. So you don't have to turn your lights on and off at certain different times. You can just click the link, hide under your covers, pray to God you're not one of the people that Lisa was just talking about. By the way, it's probably more likely that you get struck by lightning than you get kidnapped and held somewhere for years. But if you're the one that gets struck by lightning, that's cold comfort. Do you know what I'm saying?
It's true.
Yeah. So common sense. Use common sense when traveling, when out there in the world. It's a good reminder. Yeah. It's a good reminder. And now I'm scared.
Be aware.
Shitless.
Be alert.
Be alert. Be aware.
Arrive unhurt.
Stranger danger. GCBpodcast.com. That's where you can find all of the episodes, audio and video, all of our guests, all of the show notes, all of the everything. You know, we're approaching 900 episodes here on the commercial
break.
Holy crap is right. We're also approaching one camera angle.
the blackout.
That's right. So tcbpodcast.com. YouTube.com/thecommercialbreak and 212-433-3TCB. Questions, comments, concerns, content ideas. Oh, and you can hit us up on Instagram at The Commercial Break. Okay, Chrissy, that's all I can do for now.
I think so.
I'll tell you that I love you.
I love you.
Best to you.
Best to you.
Best to you out there in the podcast universe. Until next time, Chrissy and I will say, we do say, and we must say,
goodbye.